On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Welcome back to Tall Can Sports number 276. We're going to tee up the Raptors here a little bit. Don't forget you can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. And for those of you who have missed the last couple of shows, we are now on Spotify. So check us out over there. Hit that thumbs up button. That'll get all the shows subscribed on Spotify. On the line with us tonight, anytime we're going to talk Raptors, we go to our guy, Matty Lang. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay, brother. As you know, I've got my sexy, smelly cat voice on today.
How's it going, everybody? Matt Robinson along with you on Unforced Errors number 69. Nice. On the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Interestingly enough, and I've heard a couple comments on this before. I haven't done anything on Unforced Errors in several months now. The last one was on April 16th. Funny enough, also talking about shitty weather, as we'd had a hell of an ice storm on April 16th, and it had kind of stopped us from doing some of the things we were planning on doing. That's sort of been the case here. What is wrong with some of you people? Got a text, got several tweets, got a couple of emails and Facebook messages and whatnot, helpfully pointing out that we didn't release a show on Monday morning, like we always do. And it's like some of you are somehow, you think we must be unaware that we didn't do that. Like we aren't conscious of the fact that, oh, really? I didn't sit in front of a microphone and put something together for... We just had a fucking tornado blow through town. This isn't minor news. It's been on CNN. It's been on Canadian national news for a long time. A good portion of Ottawa has had no power. We're okay, thanks for asking. Not a whole lot of concern about that. Just, where's my morning podcast? Fuck! I'm fine, thanks. No, I wasn't blown off my balcony and put head first through a Taco Bell window by gale force winds. I appreciate your concern. That would be the way to die in a shitty fucking Taco Bell. So we're okay. Thanks. Storm rolled through here on Friday night, knocked out power for several days. I'm just getting back into the studio now. We'll get into a couple of things here. I'll kind of let you know what happened. But I was pretty lucky. I went downtown. I have family here in the city who had power. And so I loaded up some stuff. I loaded up a bag, grabbed a six-pack out of the fridge, which was commented on by everyone that I passed. For some reason, I don't know, sense of community or something. Basically, everyone but me who lives in my building was hanging out in the lobby when I was leaving on Friday night. It was clear there was no power here. There was some downtown where I was going, and I'm like, fuck, I'm out of here. So now I'm walking through this gauntlet of people, and I got this case of beer or whatever under one. Someone knows how to ride out the storm. And, fuck, yeah. Yeah. Can you just get the fuck out of my way, please? So I didn't have the same sort of hardship, but I stayed down there for a few days and got an email on Monday morning, Sunday night, whatever you want to call it, about 1:30 in the morning from a friend of the show, the lovely and talented Amy Burke, who lives in the general area, saying power's back on. So kind of gathered up my stuff on Monday and headed back. I took an Uber to come home, and I don't know what the fuck this was that I was listening to. On the radio was some sort of nature documentary. I have to assume we were on CBC Radio because they're the only people doing that sort of thing. And it was called, as they went to break, we will return in a moment to The Bison and the Brotherhood. And it was seriously like an episode of The Nature of Things, but on the radio. And without the over-the-top entertaining personality of one David Suzuki, that was missing as well. But so I got back home. Everything in the freezer is, of course, a write-off. But other than that, everything's fine here. They say the power is tentative, and we'll kind of get into this. But it's up. It's fragile. And so they're telling you not to, you know, go crazy on it. And I was a little nervous about that when I got home. You know, you don't want to, everything's working fine. You don't want to be the guy who comes home and decides, I'm going to run the dishwasher, do a load of laundry, vacuum while the music's blasting and the TV's on, whatever. Be the one who knocks the whole thing back out again. But, so we're doing this on kind of my mobile setup, the one that I kind of take on the road sometimes, in studio, but very few lights, very few computer bells and whistles and whatnot. So there won't be much of that going on here. But we're back in. Friday night, I'm jumping around on Twitter. It's about 5 o'clock, I guess. I don't know the exact time. And I'm seeing reports of a tornado. And there'd been all kinds of alerts and warnings, severe thunderstorm, this and that, across the province of Ontario all day. It's kind of unstable weather. But we don't get really bad stuff here, right? Like, this is really unusual. So you kind of, you don't react as well as you should. So suddenly I see a tornado warning for my area and most of the national capital region. And it's not a watch, right? So the warning is the more serious one, that it's no longer keep an eye out for it. It's, this is imminent. This is happening. So that's fucked, right? That's not what I'm looking to hear. So now I'm following along on Twitter, and I see that one does touch down in a little town called Dunrobin. It's a suburb kind of northwest of Ottawa, which I had never heard of until Friday, and now I'm unlikely to ever forget. All kinds of photos and stuff of houses just flattened. Like, forget roofs blown off and stuff. That kind of stuff happened across town. Forget trees being down. There was no sign other than these exposed basements that there had ever been houses there. It was every bit as bad as anything you see on the movies. And it was, wow, right? And so I'm looking at that. I'm reading about that. It says it's kind of, the storm has jumped the river and it's kind of blasting through Gatineau, and they got it pretty bad, which is a bit north of where we are on the Gatineau side of the Ottawa River, or the Quebec side of the Ottawa River. And it sounds like, you know, we may still get some thunderstorms, we may whatever, but the worst of it is over. They had actually undone the, or, you know, whatever, released the tornado warning. That was supposed to be over. Ended is probably the word I'm looking for. You'll forgive me, I haven't slept much in the last little while. I've been riding couches and whatever, right? Not home in my nice, comfortable bed. I still got power, everything's fine. And, you know, you kind of carry on with whatever. And I bet you it was almost an hour later that the power went out here. And you're like, oh, fuck. I kind of thought the worst of this was over, but, you know, here we are. So I'd already had plans to go downtown on Friday night, so I'm not too worried about it. You know, it's, whatever. It's a storm. And, you know, the power goes out. That happens sometimes. I'm not really changing my plans too much. I'm sure it'll be up when I get back. And I'm jumping around online now, just waiting for when I was supposed to leave. And they're talking about power being out across a good portion of the city. And this is a big city, laid out really wide, right? And there's this talk all over the place of it just being pitch black, street lights, everything. And so that was a little concerning. It starts to sound a little bit more like, you know, that this is serious and maybe more serious than your standard storm, but you still don't really know the extent of it as it's happening. And so as I'm heading downtown, there is no lights. It's eerie how dark it is. To get to Colonel By Drive, which is normally the way I choose to go downtown, I have to go down this long residential kind of main artery called Meadowlands Drive. And it's full of apartment buildings and townhouses and then little convenience stores and restaurants and this and that. All of it is pitch black. No street lights to be found, no emergency lights to be found, nothing. And it looked like an apocalyptic movie. It looked like The Purge or something, right? Like, it was so dark. And it's strange when I go to the lake, you don't really think about it. It gets dark, right? There's no street lights, there's no skyscrapers, there's no condo buildings and this and that. You expect it to be dark. But when you're moving around inside of an urban core and it's that dark, it's really startling. It makes you really uncomfortable. And people don't really remember how to treat things like a four-way stop like you're supposed to. Pedestrians don't really know when it's their time to cross. Like, so everyone's a little on edge. And as we got closer to downtown, you could see parts of it, like the Carleton University, which is, you know, one of the big campuses here in the city. They had power, and that was kind of strange because on one side of the road there was nothing, on the other there was this giant lit up campus. But as we got closer to downtown, there was more and more power and things looked a little more normal. So we had dinner like we were always planning to, and I'm back online and I'm looking, and they're describing that nothing has gotten any better back out near my part of the city, and that it is across a gigantic part of the southern part of the city. Almost all of the east to west is dark. Most of the west side is dark. Parts of Kanata, which is a suburb west of here, is dark. And that they can't get it back up and running. Like, something major has happened. And so it comes out that there's one transfer station that brings in basically 40% of 50% of the city's power, and 50% of that is gone. The whole station has blown down, essentially. So 50% of the power that's supposed to come into the city is just not going anywhere. So it doesn't sound like that's going to get back up and running on the Friday night. So I decide I'm just going to crash downtown on a couch and whatever. I wake up on Saturday, and it turns out that this storm has come right down Hunt Club Road, for those of you who know Ottawa. It's kind of the southernmost main artery in Ottawa going west to east. And it's just gone down and knocked out everything in its way. And it does end up getting confirmed that it was another tornado. At first, we didn't know that, but Environment Canada has since confirmed that it was a second tornado that ripped straight across the bottom of the city. And one of the things that it touched down on was this main power transfer station where all this power comes into Ottawa. So where the city essentially connects to the provincial grid, it had just been knocked right the hell out over. It was exposed to nature. They went in at first thing in the morning on Saturday. Well, they went in Friday night to look at it. It came out on Saturday morning that they didn't even start repairs until Saturday because they couldn't. It was so much debris. Things were destroyed. It wasn't a question of fixing it. It was a question of digging to get to the problems. So Saturday morning, you're kind of like, all right, well, this is apparently going to be a while. And I made my way back out to my place, grabbed some stuff. I need a couple changes of clothes and this and that, and headed back downtown to stay with family and just kind of ride it out. But it took days. And, you know, it's really interesting to watch. It's really interesting to be in the middle of. I'm not a storm chaser kind of guy. I'm not a whatever. But when something big happens, I am a guy who turns on the news and watches it for a while. And this would have qualified in that. In a major Canadian city, to have two tornadoes rip across it and just leave half of it devastated, I'm going to watch that for a while on the news. But I don't have power or cable, so now I'm kind of in it. And that was really eerie to me because you're kind of hearing these things and you're seeing things online that are indicating this is a major story across the country. And you can't, like, you're in the middle of it. You're not suffering. It's not like some of these major, some other major stories or major storms that have gone on. Although there were people who were severely affected here in town, people who lost their homes, people who were injured, you know, seniors who didn't have what they needed in their homes anymore and needed help getting out. So it's not to say there were no victims, but it's not as devastating as some of these cities that end up underwater or, you know, whatever it might be. But here you are now sitting in it and not able to watch the way you normally would, not able to consume the news when you most need it, when it's most relevant to you. So I'm sitting downtown with power, and so I got no issue. I can keep charging up my phone and my battery packs or my laptop, whatever I want to do, and I'm watching through this on Twitter. And it was really cool to see how quickly the city kind of did spur into action, right? You are talking about, for the most part, I think there was 300,000 homes with no power on Friday night when this happened. They managed to reroute some power around the station and start to get some back up and running. But for most of the weekend, it was about 170,000 homes with no power. That's a huge chunk of people. And there are people with medical needs and different things like that that were severely impacted. But everybody wants information. Everybody wants to be able to communicate. And we've become so reliant on our phones and on the internet, things like that, that became an issue. Just, my phone's going to die. What do I do? There was Tim Hortons and McDonald's across other parts of the city that had power lined up out the door. It was like, I can't even describe it. But sometimes right around the building, right? People just trying to get in and get some water, get a bagel, just get a coffee and feel a little bit normal. Maybe some people were just killing time. But you were seeing in city parks, community leaders setting up areas to just come and eat. A lot of it was, or some of it was from a couple of grocery stores who had no power. You have generators for a little while, but at some point that's going to run out. So all of a sudden you got hot dogs and hamburgers that are going to go bad. You want to throw all that shit out, or do you want to get out in the parking lot and start cooking it, right? People are hungry. People can't cook for themselves right now. So little things like that started popping up. That was kind of cool to see. There's a woman who's fairly prominent here in Ottawa, at least online. Her name is Shauna. I'm not going to give her last name out. She was giving her own address out online this weekend. So clearly she is pretty trusting. I'm not going to give all that information away. That's up to her if she wants to do it. But she was giving out her home address and saying, you don't have to know me. You don't have to know who I, but if you need a shower, if you need to charge your phone, come on by. I'm cooking hot meals all day. If you want to stay and eat it, you're welcome to do that. If that's going to make you uncomfortable, you can take it and go. I won't be offended. Literally, just anybody. If you need something, come here. And you saw a lot of that. I saw people tweeting that they had gotten off pretty light, or they had just finished maybe cleaning up their yard or whatever. Does anyone need a hand? Does anyone need a hand moving trees off of a line? Does anyone need a ride somewhere? Just little things like that. You were seeing a lot of this really good stuff. And to me, that stuff probably happens in most of these disasters, and you just don't really know about it unless you're there. Here it was interesting because it's on a backdrop you're so familiar with. These addresses that people are giving out are places you've been before. These pictures coming in are things you recognize, and it makes it super real. And I'm not trying, again, I want to be careful. I don't want to be too dramatic. Like I said, I grabbed some shit and I went to someone's place who had full power. And I, like anyone else, you're a little frustrated. You can't go home, but you're not exactly suffering any kind of hardship. Lots of people were, and lots of other people were working really hard to help with that, minimalize that, just volunteers. So that was really cool. Like always, there are other shitheads who like to complain about, I don't know, not getting their power back fast enough or this and that. But for the most part, really, really cool to see. So if I can circle back a little bit. On the Saturday morning, the mayor, the cops, and Hydro Ottawa officials, whatever, they have a press conference to let people know what's up. They tell us that this main station has been blown down. It's the main way to get power in. Some people closer to the north, closer to the east, who are out might start to see it trickle on, but that the rest of us in this kind of southwestern area, Nepean, Barrhaven, they said this is a multi-day deal. So this is Saturday morning. Said at least 48 hours. So that's taking you up to Monday. and that it could quite likely or quite possibly be longer than that. So later on Saturday, when I go back to my place to get some stuff, again, it's eerie. Now it's daylight, so it's less creepy. But to see no lights, no street lights, traffic just crawling, again, because people don't really know what to do at, you know, four-way stops. You see them everywhere, but you're not used to them being at major intersections with no lights and stuff. It's still really weird. I get back to my building, which is all dark. I live on the 11th floor, so luckily the elevator was running because I wasn't looking forward to that. And one of the people in my building tells me they heard Wednesday. So now you are a little concerned, right? Is you're not going to be able to get any work done. You're going to be out of your house for a long time. How long am I packing for? How much do I need to take with me? You know, what can I do? Should I be emptying my freezer now? What's going to make it? Like, luckily, I eat pretty poorly. I'm not a great cook. But there are obviously people here who lost hundreds of dollars in food and can't afford to replace it, which is a major thing that doesn't get enough attention. But, you know, that's sort of how I'm looking at that going, okay, this could be a good long time. So on Sunday afternoon, we get another report that says, we're going to try and MacGyver this thing is basically what's up. We're going to try from the other main station that brings power into the city, from a couple of smaller substations. We're going to see if we can slowly power this up, but we don't know if it's going to work. And essentially they're talking about, you know, those old shitty Christmas lights where you plug them in and like 30% of them don't work. But you don't know why. Is it one bulb that's stopping the power from getting through? Is there a loose connection somewhere? Like, what's the problem? And you know it's just going to be a nightmare until you, you know, get pissed and go buy new ones from Canadian Tire. That's sort of what this is. They're going to go around it and use a lot of this technology that was never meant to be used this way and just see what happens when they power it up. And they said, your street may not get power while streets on both sides of you do, or you might be the other, where your street is the only one in your area that comes up. We don't know yet. We're going to energize the grid. We're going to let power slowly back into it, but we don't know yet what the damage is like out there. You're kind of working from the biggest point down, right? How do we start letting power back into the city and then see where the smaller connections are broken to get back to that? And so at 5 o'clock, they say they're going to do it. It doesn't go. There's a quick news bite that comes out and says, we're going to try again at around 6. This, you know, it wasn't ready. Another one comes out at 6, says we're going to try it at 7. And it turns out in that time, it comes out later, that they did try and fire it up and found out that even then, a day and a half later, when they knew they were fucked, they found out they were more fucked than they thought. The damage, even then, was worse than they'd expected after 24 hours of looking at it, trying to find other plans. So at 7 o'clock, they start slowly powering it on. A part of Barrhaven comes on, which is the southwest corner of the town, or of this major city. Little parts in the Nepean start to power back up. It's kind of coming slowly. But I'm no more than 2 kilometers. The Hawks come down and Patrick Kane ties it up and he gives it right back to
him. Well, he does the Hulkster. He's got the hand up by the ear.
He's
got the big one
because he's going to get the love from the home crowd, right, and bring it in. I got to tell you, man, I loved it on both sides. And there's been a ton of talk since then about back in the day we would never have done this. Or to me, I love that Austin Matthews showed some personality and did it. And I love that when the Hawks tied it up, Kane shoved it up his ass and said, yeah, here's how it
runs. I mean, Raptors sure are clearly a better team, but you get Giannis, who's an absolute unicorn. Now we have Kawhi, who's an absolute unicorn as well. So yeah. Maybe if we have Kawhi, it's a different conversation he's having. Nick Nurse was also a guy who, and I know for sure we talked about this on a previous pod, but Nick Nurse is a guy who was going to be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah.
Eventually, he's the one who 2 years ago instilled the new offense for the Raptors. So I think the offense is probably going to be even more dynamic this year now that he doesn't have to pass his ideas past somebody else.
Okay.
He's the one who the Houston minor league team, and forgive me, I'm forgetting where they actually play, But before they brought Mike D'Antoni in, they actually had Nick Nurse in the minor leagues.
Fantastic. You just mean boring.
Yep. But that's what they got to do.
Boring as shit.
When Kopitar's line is not on the ice, that's a bad team. That's a bad fucking team, man. I don't know what you saw, but your team diced them just as, well, you know, more thoroughly than Toronto did.
Well, it was four.
It'll
the
work.
Union Jack Boxers.
They'll do, I guess.
This isn't. I'm not if I'm going to press them to my face, they're not.
I'm suffocating under.
There's 50 yen I'll never get back.
For Leaf fans, Ron Hainsey looked like March Ron Hainsey and not October Ron Hainsey, right, at 37 years old. If that's what he's going to give you, that's going to be a real problem. And coming off a couple of power.
And I think that's worth noting, yeah. Right? But we have said, I think as competitive as we'd like to make it, I think there's also something to the point where you go, if it's really competitive, that doesn't always mean it's great.
Right. Yeah, it might just be a bunch of shit facing off against each other.
Okay,
right?
But as we said, I think the top two or three in this division, quite good.
Yep.
Quite good. Right?
I like what St. Louis has done. Obviously, Winnipeg is going to be very good again. And Nashville hasn't changed yet.
And we will.
Like fucking crack a
that's
crack
it.
Dealer. Right?
Yeah, okay. But,
yeah.
You know, you are already, for all those people who are already running a Mac or you're running an iPad
yep.
or an iPhone, right? And you're like, yeah, we're willing to give this to you where you can.